Now, say something.
Test, test, test.
A little more.
Well, you told me just to say test, test, test last time. Was that not good enough for you? Damn, what more do you want from me?
Oh my God. Welcome, everybody, to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and I'm joined, as always, by my wife, Allie.
Hello.
And today we got a pretty cool episode. We are talking Microsoft's Game Showcase. This is what they did this year instead of E3, because Corona canceled everything.
This is what everyone did.
Yeah, exactly. Ubisoft, we talked about Ubisoft a couple episodes ago. And
I think, wasn't Xbox the last one to do it out of the three major
things?
Sony, Nintendo. Didn't Sony do one?
Nintendo? Sony did one, and Nintendo did this mini direct that was only 10 minutes long, so I'm really hoping that they have more. They didn't show anything from first-party games. Like it was pretty stupid.
I don't know. It's kind of standard on Nintendo. They just do their own thing.
I wouldn't say that at all. Nintendo is the one who like kind of started this whole digital showcase. They've been doing this for years.
Well, because I mean, like, while everyone else was doing E3, Nintendo already kind of did their own version of this consistently. So I'm almost wondering if this is just their new way of dealing with it. Hey guys, 10 minutes. Bam, there you go.
No way, because they didn't announce anything big. They didn't announce anything from any of their first party developers. It was like it was like a HD remake of Shin Megami Tensei. That was like it. And then there was like Shin Megami Tensei like 2 HD and Shin Megami Tensei 5, I think, was what got shown off. Nothing.
Wasn't there also Pokemon stuff? Because I remember the Pokemon.
That was a while ago. That was just kind of like a Pokemon Direct. Nothing that was actually like E3 level. I'm pretty sure. But the thing about Nintendo is they'll announce it. They'll be like, hey, like on Monday, they'll be like, hey, we're going to have a Nintendo Direct on Thursday. And 3 days later, they announce like all these huge things. So it could come at any time from Nintendo.
Well, but at least Microsoft and Sony did theirs.
Yeah, they got theirs out of the way. So. But yeah, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about everything that was announced, from Xbox, from Microsoft this year. Some new IPs, some expansions on games, some gameplay trailers. We got the whole list for you here, and we're just gonna work our way down it. So let's get into it. Microsoft kicked off their show with Halo Infinite gameplay. So it's getting a lot of hate. A lot of people are hating on this.
Was it that bad? Like, really?
Like, I didn't think it was bad, but I see where everyone's coming from. Like, everyone's hating on the graphics. It seems like everybody is posting still images of the stream. And, you know, everything looks choppy. It doesn't look very sharp. There's, like, this big picture of, like, this big gorilla man in front of your, like, camera view, and he just doesn't have any textures on his face. And, I mean, I love Halo, and I don't want to sit here and make excuses for it, but I feel like, you know, that was a trailer from a stream. You know, the game is still months out, so who knows? You know, I had a lot more takeaways from that gameplay demo than just the looks of the game. And I'm still...
Well, I would definitely say as far as, like, the graphics go, it definitely doesn't show off the new console graphics at all. So I think because, I mean, it's Halo, you'd expect Microsoft to sink a lot of money into it, that it would probably have a bit more. But it really does look like a current-gen console game when it comes to its graphics.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at it more like, well, one, yeah, if you look at that gameplay demo and you look at textures and like when he goes into, they're not Covenant, I think they're called Banished, the enemy faction. Like if you go into a ship and you look at the details, like the floor doesn't look that great, the walls don't look too good. But I was looking at, like, the lighting. Like, the guns look super clean to me. And the lighting hitting the guns, like, it looked great. And I was just looking at processing power compared to other Halos. The big reveal for this, and it makes sense with it given its name, Halo Infinite, it's like, it's not a linear game anymore. The first thing that they did was once Master Chief got off the ship, he opened up a map, which you've never had in Halo before, besides like a little mini map to show where enemies are. He opened up a map that had tons of different objectives on it, and you're in this open world, and it might be cut off in different areas, but it's gigantic compared to what every other Halo game was. So I'm just saying, like, it's already a step up from Halo 4 and Halo 5, even though Halo 5 came out like 6 years ago. I still think it's a step up just for them to be able to expand the game out that far and give you that kind of freedom. Watching that demo, I was really impressed with it. You know,
I just feel like I expected more from it because they have had, I think you said the last Halo came out like, what, 6 years ago, you said?
I think so, yeah.
I just expect them to have more to show for it, because I know the one thing that I noticed near the end of it was items just blinking into existence. And I know what they usually do for showings like this is they'll have like a portion of their game that is just a nice, neat little box that they just super polish for these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it kind of seems like, guys, you kind of missed one.
Yeah.
I think another thing that distracted me was how the environment looked. When it came to, you know, the mountains and everything, they were very smooth. But granted, that makes sense because it's a Halo they're on. And granted, I'm not a Halo person. In fact, I've only played maybe bits and pieces of all of them. But Halos are not man-made, but they're machines, aren't they? Or, like, they're basically made of metal and stuff.
Well, right? No, it's full planets on the rings themselves. So it is like, actual rock and terrain.
Oh, well, now you kind of lost me. Because, like, I was going to say, you know, that makes sense because, oh, it's a ring, so it's going to have smooth edges. So that's why there's no rocks. And now you just kind of destroyed that logic that I had for them, giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I do know that the Halos themselves are like weapons, but it also seems like their entire planets and stuff like that. So I'm not really too sure. I mean, I love the games. I'm not too up on the lore of it, other than like Master Chief as a Spartan himself and different things like that.
My whole thing was basically, I think it looks weird because it's the ring itself is technically a contradiction in that it has nature and machinery in it. So that might explain how it looked so fake. I mean, it didn't look bad for a game. It's just, you know, it didn't amaze me with it, but I thought the combat and what they showed was pretty neat.
Yeah, they added the grappling hook now, which Master Chief could use to get around. He could also pull in like fusion coils and like throw them at enemies and like bring enemies near him. Everything a grappling hook could do, you know. I don't know why I'm explaining this, but there was one other thing that I wanted to talk about. Oh, just basically like comparing it to Halo 5, I think it's already going to be a step up because this game, as far as we know right now, you're Chief the whole time. And that was one of the biggest disappointments in Halo 5. You weren't even Master Chief for half of that game. You know, you were someone who was like hunting Master Chief. So, I don't know. I think as story-wise, you know, gameplay-wise, I think it's going to be a lot more fun to play. It might not look 1,000 times better, but I'm still excited for it. I can understand why people are getting the hate, but I'm looking forward to it.
I just hope it's not because they did feel, because it's a Halo game, they could be a little more lax on it. I'd hope it's the exact opposite, where they're remembering it's a Halo game.
Especially, yeah, like Sony is killing it with their exclusives. And that's one thing that Microsoft and Xbox really have to do is just make sure that their exclusives like blow everyone's expectations out of the park. And if people aren't really happy about this, they might. I'm sure the game's going to do amazing. I'm sure it's going to sell fan, like, you know, games always come out. Look at everyone. The Last of Us is one of the top, Last of Us 2 is one of the top selling PlayStation games of all time. It had so much hate coming up to it. The game is going to do amazing, you know?
Well, I just hope people almost say Microsoft doesn't really care about exclusivity anymore.
That is a bold statement, Allie. I would not agree with that when Xbox Game Pass exists. I think they are doubling down and they're trying to secure as many exclusive developers as they can.
Well, no, not that's not what I mean. What I'm saying is I think they're not so much worried about keeping things to themselves because they are expanding their Game Pass to include PCs and the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there kind of shows they're more open to the idea, because before it was very much Halo is on Xbox. Granted, I had it on PC, but I think it took a while to get to PC. But even like with 360 games and everything, it was very much you stay here. And that's what Sony has been doing, even though now they also are opening their gates more to PC. I just think Microsoft is doing a better job of it.
Yeah. I mean, when Xbox is like crossing over to PC, that's not as shocking as Sony doing it, because obviously Microsoft, they're just slowly integrating games with Steam. Like Master Chief Collection is on Steam as well, and I believe something else was coming over to Steam. But like, you know, when Xbox games are coming over to PC, you still have to go through the Xbox installer and everything like that. You have to go through the Game Pass launcher. Xbox games coming over to PC in that way is a little more understandable. Whereas Sony is starting to bring stuff over to Steam, which is a little more shocking that they would be open to doing that. That's what I would say. Yeah.
I think they're kind of starting to realize, I can't even say that. I was going to say, I think they're starting to realize that they shouldn't focus so much on console like exclusivity in regards to the only way that you can play this game is on this console and that's it. Even if it's, you know, PS4. The reason why I say that is I remember their main thing was when it comes to the PlayStation 5, they are pushing all of their studios to just build PlayStation 5 games. As soon as it's out, I believe from what's been revealed, they want everyone to basically completely drop the PS4. They just want to pretend like it didn't even happen, but not in a bad way. They just want to push this new console as hard as they can. And for Xbox, they've been very much play it on whatever you want to play. Just know the best way to experience it is the Xbox Series X.
Yeah, where, like you said, PlayStation is just solely focusing on PS5. Xbox is really trying to ease that transition, and I think everyone is sort of looking at that as a way of seeing that the games developed for Xbox aren't going to be as powerful, because if you're able to play them on the Xbox One, you know, sure, they'll look better on the Xbox One X, but they were also developed for the Xbox One, especially with the smart delivery. Like, if you buy a disc for the Xbox One and you're able to play Halo Infinite on Xbox One, if it even gets released for the Xbox One, and then you plug it into your Xbox One X, yeah, that's going to look better. But if it was made to be played on the previous generation, that probably means that they had to dumb it down a little bit, you know? So
I don't know. You said Xbox so many times.
I know. What am I supposed to say? Every console is named.
They need to fix their naming convention.
Yeah, every console is named Xbox. So many X's. Series X, One X. Oh, my goodness.
Look at all these X's.
And not only that, but it's like they're saying that you could play these games on the Xbox One, I believe. That don't hold me to that, because I'm not sure. Because they might have said Xbox One X. But if
they did.
They did?
They said you can play it. There can play the majority of the games, I believe, on the Xbox One still.
So if you're able to play a game that is coming out for the Xbox Series X on an Xbox One, which released in 2013, that's a little messed up and tricky in my opinion. So I don't know.
Well, don't forget, it might have come out in 2013 or whenever the heck it came out, but that gives people 7 years to have worked on it, whereas this new console and next generation, there's a lot of things that people need to learn in order to make them work. I mean, Ghost of Tsushima. It is so small. It is 38 gigs in size, but I have never seen so many particles and falling pieces and wind that just moves stuff. It's insane.
And the quickest and load times. The quickest load times. The load times in that game are like what the PS5 tech demo was with Spider-Man. It's like, you want to go here? Okay, click, wait 5 seconds, you're there, you know?
And even with that, they had to slow it down because it was so fast that people couldn't read the little tidbits in it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm just thinking from a hardware perspective, you know, something that a console that's coming out in 2020 can still technically, games for it could still technically be played on a console that came out in 2013. And I don't know. I guess we'll see. We might be getting a little off topic. We should probably get back to the games.
Well, even if Halo might not look the best, the very next one that they showed was definitely used to give the capabilities of the Xbox Series X. Yes, I said that correctly. The Xbox Series X's graphics, and that was Forza.
But before Forza, State of Decay 3 came out, or was announced.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing, too.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah. Girl in the woods sees a demon zombie deer, whatever. Going on to Forza.
She screamed so loud it hurt my ears. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ.
We were watching. I was just like, yeah, that wasn't necessary.
Good acting on the voice actress's part, but...
Also, that's a little weird. Like, you would scream at a zombie for them to run away? And then...
No, it wasn't the zombie. She screamed at a wolf.
Oh, it was just an uninfected wolf.
Yeah, that was the wolf that she saw later on getting nommed on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that deer did look pretty brutal. And
when I first saw it, though, I thought it was a werewolf game, and I got super excited. And then it was zombie deer, and I was like, oh,
They really pushed State of Decay 3 out fast when State of Decay 2 came out, like, last year or something. You know, I was kind of shocked at that.
I'm kind of hoping they made it a little more... than the difference that they made between State of Decay and State of Decay 2.
You
played one, you basically played two.
Yeah, two really didn't hold my attention. I didn't get too far in it.
It wasn't bad to me, but...
But the trailer looks great. I mean, it's crazy seeing this game come from this little indie game on the 360, which it was, like, bare bones or whatever, and seeing it become one of their more high-priority exclusives that people seem to really enjoy. But yeah, going on to Forza. Now this game,
Allie, them some cars.
Those are definitely cars. So I am not a big Forza player. I did love Forza Horizon 4. When it comes to the two types of Forzas, I always enjoy Horizons just because it's more arcadey. But yeah, people who really love the simulator racers, they're into Forza Motorsport. And these games, regardless of whether or not I'm going to play them or not, they're always some of the best-looking games that they show off. I don't know what Turn 10 does, but they are able to make some amazing-looking games.
Well, they make racing games. I think that's literally, like, their sole focus.
Oh, well, yeah. No, that's what I meant. Like, I don't know what they do in the development stages of their games. But, yeah. Forza, they always look unbelievable. And it's not even, like, just the trailers. Like, when you play those games, they look gorgeous.
They do.
Another Forza developer we'll talk about later on in the show that I'm really excited about something they're doing. But, yep, that's all we got was just a reveal trailer, no actual gameplay, but I'm still like looking at it.
I'm not going to lie, I think Halo was the only actual gameplay we got.
As far as a demo, I think so. We did get trailers that showed a little bit of gameplay, but not like a full playthrough.
Yeah, I don't really count that because with trailers they can just be completely rendered to look the way they do, to where it looks like it's being played, but in all actuality it's just a scripted thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. So yeah, that's really hard to gauge. But yeah, any thoughts on Forza, you little gearhead, Allie?
That engine looked like an engine. Those cars go fast.
All right. Moving on to Everwild. Everwild is a new game
From Rare.
From Rare. And I didn't know that this game existed, but apparently it did. They had like a, they were saying that they had a huge thriving community. I was like, I didn't even know this game was a thing. No gameplay trailer, just a nice little cinematic thing. But you know what? I've been talking a lot. So Allie, why don't you take Everwild and tell us a little bit about it?
The only thing that I noticed was the nifty looking animals that looked like they belonged in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, no, they were doing straight up bending moves, trying to talk to those animals, do whatever
they were doing. It straight up looked like they were Avatar animal benders.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I'm assuming they're druids, or that might be what they're called, but... Yeah, they showed some cool animals doing stuff for them. They brought back a deer thing. They saved a giraffe from some rain.
Oh, baby giraffe.
It was baby giraffe. Yeah. I'm a giraffe.
Yes. It definitely looks cool. I mean, don't know anything more about it. I don't even think the game or the trailer showed any kind of story. Just kind of like...
It was just pictures.
Yeah, for the really.
Most part. Not pictures, because obviously...
Yeah, it was enticing. It was enticing to say the least. I'm definitely going to check it out. Speaking of which, saying, oh, we're going to check this game out, Microsoft said that every game shown off, every game that we're talking about this podcast, is going to be playable day one by Game Pass owners, which still, in my opinion, Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate are like the best deal in gaming. So yeah, when the showcase ended, we were just like, wow, we own all these games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
This definitely wasn't so much a showcase of games for the Xbox Series X, more so than a showing for Game Pass games.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Especially, I think one of the next game on the list is actually going to be available at the end of August, which is Tell Me Why.
Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Okay, here it is. So Don't Nod Entertainment. They are the creators of Life is Strange, because we were looking at this game and I was like, what is this? Life is Strange? Like, but it turned out to be Tell Me Why, which is another.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. So basically, it says playing as twins Tyler and Allison, who share a supernatural bond. You'll explore their troubled lives in small town Alaska. Sit over three chapters beginning in August.
It will explore social themes, including trans experiences.
Yeah. So I didn't really pick up on that immediately. And then you pointed out to me, because I believe in the first chapter, it shows that they're twin sisters. And then when the time loops forward, it's brother and sister. So, it looks like it's just going to be another decision-based cinematic game, just like Life is Strange. First coming out, it's August 27th, so people will be able to play that soon before the Xbox Series X launches. I never got into Life is Strange. I heard those games were very good. I think I played the first chapter of the first one, and I just never went back to it. So it's really hard for me to say it, what kind of expectations I have for this.
I'm kind of the same. I never liked games like Heavy Rain, and that's kind of what Life is Strange is.
Yeah, and I would say that graphically, this was one of the games that didn't really hit the mark at all. I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, their faces look flat. It doesn't very look, you know, everything kind of looks like muffled together.
That's their style choice, I think. But, you know, I just think because it's not a game that we, you know, personally enjoy, it's just not geared towards us.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll move right along. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Xbox Series X update. They basically took out 5 minutes to say, hey, we're updating this game. Well, guess what, Ori? I still didn't get the achievement for beating the game. You want to give me that? And give me that first?
I really don't know why they included Ori and the Will of the Wisps in their showcase, because it's kind of like, cool, I guess.
Well, it's Can we move on? It's like their flagship platformer. It is a fantastic game, but really, it came out a couple months ago, and I would say that the hype for it's kind of over. I don't know. I mean, people who get the Series X will be able to play it, and I might play it again. Who knows? But
really, all they did in their showing was, look, now instead of being 30 frames per second, it's 60 frames per second, yeah. And you can see this because we're slowing down the game in 30 frames per second, and then here's 60 frames per second. And they just kept on beating that into our heads. I was like, okay, I get it.
Doesn't it feel like people have just been shouting 60 frames per second at us for like years and years?
It's that's just like, PC is used to it now.
Yeah, when you play a game on PC, you're getting like 120 frames, and I don't know.
230 yeah, sometimes. Yeah, if I'm lucky.
So yeah, Ori update. That's a thing.
Neat.
Yeah. it's already. I'm sorry. On...
That's rude of me. It's just I really don't see what was so major that they couldn't have just been like, and this game is getting an enhancement, and well, this game is getting an enhancement.
That's the thing.
Here's this game.
Yeah, it's basically goes in line with everything else they said was like, oh, smart delivery, get a play a game on Xbox One X and it'll play better on Xbox Series X. Like, that's kind of what you're expecting. So for them to take five or however many minutes out of the conference just to, you know, really drill that home with Ori, it just didn't seem like it was needed. But yeah. Moving on, we're going to get some DLC for The Outer Worlds. I never finished The Outer Worlds. I started it. I had fun with it. It didn't really hold my attention. Like a lot of things, apparently, I always say just don't hold my attention. I never went back to it. It seems like a really funny game. And this DLC, The Peril on Gorgon, seems to be heavy on the humor. So
I liked it. It had a very 70s to 80s comic book vibe with how they announced it.
Yeah.
Or like that space sci-fi feel where the guy's like, Martians invading Earth!
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, what turned out to be one announcement from Obsidian turned out to be a little mini Obsidian showcase. They went right into Grounded, which comes out next week. I believe, you know, this podcast will be out on Monday, so I think it comes out this Friday, the 31st... let's see.
Yeah,
oh, the no, 31st. No, it comes out the 28th, so it'll actually be out. Pull up my calendar. It'll be out on Tuesday, not Friday. So, yeah. If you listen to this podcast on Monday, dog, tomorrow, you're getting Grounded.
Well, as I was saying, it looks cute. I liked how at the very beginning they mention, if you're waiting for the world's biggest game, get Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah,
it was definitely one of the best trailers of the show. It was very funny. And it showed off, this was one of the trailers I was talking about that actually showed off a little bit of gameplay. I didn't know that there was like crafting and building in this game, but there was like these kids were building a little leaf house, which seemed pretty cool and cute. I think I'm going to have some fun playing this game. We'll probably play it co-op.
I also know for that they have a spider mode or an arachnophobia mode, where you can have a slider, I believe it is, and the more you use it, the spiders, I don't know if there's just one or if there's more than one, but it gets less and less spider-looking.
Really? Like, what do you mean less spider-looking?
Like, I think if you have it all the way down to absolute arachnophobia mode, it just looks like shapes.
Like, oh, just some circles really?
And noodles. Yeah, I'll have that's to try and find the picture for you, but yeah, it looks nothing like a spider. It's just, Here's some menacing noodles!
That's cool. I like that. I'll probably keep it on even though I hate spiders, but that's really cool that they give that option.
I think I'd have to, just because I'd be wondering why I'm running away from noodles.
Yeah. but yeah, it looks like a little fun co-op survival game. Definitely going to check that out. Moving on to the next announcement from Obsidian, Avowed. It looks to be their next big RPG. We didn't get any kind of gameplay for this, just a really quick teaser.
Andy, I already told you, we didn't get any gameplay for any game besides
it's just,
Halo.
It's just habit.
It's like, I'm going to stop you there. There was literally no other gameplay at any point in time.
Yeah, yeah. So no gameplay for Avowed.
Oh and my Christ.
Yeah, we got this cool looking trailer. You know, arrows flying through the sky, then it goes down to the catacombs and there's some enemies. I don't know. Yeah, really hard to say. It looks cool. Definitely check it out. I like me some RPGs.
It caught my interest, but it didn't really give much at all. Like, yeah. I still don't really know, is it like an RTS? Is it kind of like Pillars of Eternity? Is it like Divinity? Is it like Skyrim? And yeah. they say it could potentially be a new Elder Scrolls-like experience, but I don't believe that. You shouldn't aspire to be, like, another popular game, I feel, even though that's what everybody does, because, I mean, why wouldn't you aim for success, you know?
Yeah, I don't think, like, the whole Soulsborne thing, where it's like, oh, it's the new big Soulsborne game.
It's the
like,
new Dark Souls of like, blah, blah, blah.
You definitely want to make something new and your own. So you want games to come out in the future that would be like, oh, this is the new Avowed instead of Avowed is the new Elder Scrolls. But yeah.
To be fair, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it is pretty much going to be akin to something like the Elder Scrolls.
But... And you know what? We have no idea when this game is coming out. And Elder Scrolls 6 got announced like 2 years ago. So we have no idea how close together they're going to be. But safe to say Elder Scrolls 6 is going to blow this thing out of the park.
Still, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I would.
I need to see if Bethesda learned its lesson from Fallout 76.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of their attempt at making like the Fallout equivalent of Elder Scrolls Online, and
yeah,
just focus on single player, man. That's it. That's what you guys
remember, guys. We celebrated them remembering to put in NPCs and celebrated again when we found out it was free. Thank you for finally completing your game.
Mm-hmm. So, Avowed is a thing. And it's coming out sometime.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Maybe. Actually, there is no guarantee that it will ever come out.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, look at Scalebound from a couple years ago. That seemed like it was going to be a huge new game for Xbox, and that got completely scrapped.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
and who knows? It's a very good chance that that could happen to Avowed, too.
Yeah, definitely. Man, that's a little sad. Moving on. let's get out of the sad space.
The next game was As Dusk Falls, and quite honestly, meh. It kind of looks like a visual novel attempt that Microsoft has greenlit.
Yeah, this was the worst looking game of the conference for me. I have zero interest in this. Yeah, there was no, like, where you say there was no gameplay in this, this trailer was just a bunch of images. It's going to be their art style. You could tell that this is how the game is going to be. And like you said, yeah, it'll probably be similar to a visual novel. It might be like Telltale-esque where you like make decisions and stuff, but man, this art style just really nailed it home that this is a game I will not be playing.
It's kind of like, you remember Gone Home?
Yeah.
And what was that other one? Three quarters of a mile? Three fourths home.
Yeah.
So those games, everybody, like, you know, always says, oh, they're showing the other side of what games can be. And, yeah, they're not games. I know you can, like, press a button and just do something. But, like, for that home game, the one with the chick in the car, I have no idea what was going on. Because after just hitting that button multiple times and holding in the gas pedal...
That's all you did.
Completely zoned out.
Yeah, that three-fourths home, and you guys, it's on the Xbox store. It's on all consoles. It's usually on sale for like $1. The whole game is holding in right trigger and skipping through dialogue. That if you want to make a game like that, you make a game like What Remains of Edith Finch. That game is very light on the gameplay. It's all exploration, but it is such a good experience. Games like Gone Home, Three Fourths Home.
I don't like them.
No.
I'll just say it. I'm going to stop even being nice about it. I absolutely hate them. They bore me. I don't understand why they're created, and I don't understand how some people praise them as like works of art, because they're just, I don't know, they just irk me.
It's a mediocre story that someone wanted to tell, and the way they told it was so simple that when people see it, I think they mistake it for this ingenious work of art. And I don't know.
It's kind of like even on this exact same topic. I agree with you. I liked Edith Finch because it had a very interesting story that you were trying to solve. For 3/4 Home, you're just a chick talking to her mom. For Gone Home, you just find out that your sister's a lesbian. I don't understand what deep story there was for anything.
Yeah, the thing about Gone Home was...
Spoilers, by the way.
It was Gone Home. If you went into it blind, you would think it was a horror game. You know, you were just waiting. You were waiting for something to jump out, and it's like, no, no. And then, oh, game's over. Okay. Like,
I mean, I guess to some people, the fact that your sister is a lesbian could be deemed a horror thing, but I don't really associate with those kinds of people, so it just kind of seemed like, what?
Okay. Yeah, like...
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, but anyways, our point being that As Dusk Falls gives us those kind of vibes and makes us not interested in it.
If you are interested, though, I mean, hey, more power to you. If you enjoy visual novels, I think you'll like As Dusk Falls. It seemed like it was about a family that was just stopping on their way to a location. In fact, it even says as much. And then there's another family that I think just stole from a bank or something like that. And then police get involved. And then there was like a time skip at the very end where there was a little girl and a boy from the other family and they meet.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be super story heavy. I'd say the probably the best thing I like about this whole game is the name of the developer, Interior/Night. I think that is a super cool name. Like Interior Night, like a script, you know? You know, like a script alley.
What does the name mean?
It's like when you're writing a script, it's like Interior Night.
So is the whole point of it the fact that they're openly stating they wanted to make plays but instead settled for games?
No, that's how screenplays are still written, not just plays.
So then why didn't they just make a movie?
Oh my god. We move on.
Hey, Senua Saga. Hellblade 2 will be set in Iceland, and they did a whole lot of location scouting to make sure that it looked as beautiful as Iceland itself is.
Yeah, and that's all we got. No gameplay. No gameplay in this one. And then,
I swear to Christ.
Yeah, yeah, it was
I'm excited
weird.
For Hell. I'm excited for Hellblade 2 because I just love the idea of someone just being out in the middle of a field and just start hardcore chanting in the middle of the night. I don't know what she's saying, but it just makes me want to just like do a headbanging motion and
that trailer
be like,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, that original announcement trailer for Hellblade 2 was so spooky and so cool. Like when she did that chanting, I still get chills watching that. I'm very, very excited for this game.
Oh, it was insane. It was great looking. I hope Senua gets help, though, even though I know she won't because of the time period she's in. I just feel really bad that she's been treated like, or she's going through a lot of stuff because of, you know, her state of mind.
Yeah. But, yeah, looking forward to it. Moving on, and really, like, we're moving on from it quick, but it was just a really quick announcement that it's going to be set in Iceland, basically, just what Allie said, yeah.
That was literally all that they really showed because they had already announced Hellblade 2. It was just kind of confirming like this is where it's going to be located in and you know we're working on it.
Yeah. So the next thing that they talked about was Psychonauts 2. Psychonauts 2 got announced in 2015, and since then Microsoft has acquired Double Fine, and it seems like it's finally making progress to finally be released hopefully 2020. They brought on Jack Black, who is Jack Black did a song for them, and that was the whole thing. It was like a mini doc of him singing the song mixed in with a gameplay trailer. That was about it. Psychonauts looks cool. I never finished the first one, but that's like a cult classic, and I'm sure everyone is super excited about it.
Didn't Psychonauts 2 have a Kickstarter?
It didn't. It had Fig. Which is Fig is a different type of crowdfunding thing. I believe, like, I think I supported it, but it was so long ago. I don't even remember. I might see my name in the credits. Who knows?
I think it's a little weird that I'm assuming, like, if you supported it, you would get it at a level to where you could get the game when it's released.
Yeah.
Is Kickstarter on the record? So are you going to get it twice now where you're going to get it on Game Pass and the digital version? And if you do, what digital version, like what platform is it going to be on?
I believe when the crowdfunding thing on Fig kicked off, it was just for PC. So I'm probably gonna, if I did support at that level, I guess we'll find out. I'll probably just get like a Steam key or something.
Oh, that's kind of neat, I suppose.
Yeah. So, Psychonauts looks pretty cool. Destiny 2 was the next announcement that they're bringing not only Destiny 2 to Game Pass, but all of their expansions. And I haven't played any expansion in Destiny 2. I played through the whole main game. Apparently they fixed a ton of stuff and the game is super fun and replayable. So I'm excited to check it out when it comes to Game Pass. I believe it's going to be in September. Yeah. It's coming to Game Pass in September and Destiny 2 Beyond Light goes live in November. And that's their newest expansion. One thing though, remember we were watching it and it was like their big thing for the trailer was that you could freeze enemies. And I was like,
yeah.
It's like you can do that in every game. It's not, you know. I don't know.
I'm not a Destiny person, so yeah. I just saw it and I was like, "Yep, that's neat."
Yeah,
a lot of this showcase was just me going, "Huh, neat."
Yeah, and they're all shooters and like not all shooters, but like a lot of them were like games that I played in the past and everything. And I was just kind of like, "Oh, that'll be fun," you know.
Like even the next one, it's Stalker 2 has been announced for Xbox after being a PC only series for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That was just another one. I was like, huh, neat.
Yeah, I've never played the original Stalker. It looks cool. It looks, you know, whatever. It's hard to say. It's cool that it's coming to consoles, giving more people a chance to play it. But yeah. I would say, though, that the next game that got announced looks a lot more enticing, which is Warhammer 40K Darktide. It seems like it's going to be like it's definitely going to be like a four-player co-op game. It seems like there's going to be different classes. Seemed like their enemy numbers are going to be huge. I don't know with that trailer. I'm not like really into Warhammer stuff, but it just seemed like kind of like zombies as the enemy. I don't know. Do you know any more about that?
Nope, but no. I feel bad for the guy with the flashlight because it was super dark in that area, and if they are going up against zombies, he's not going to have a good time.
He's like, I'm a brute, I'm a mercenary, I'm a rifleman. I got a flashlight.
If only my flashlight would work.
Yeah, let's see. The little blurb for this says the trailer features four Imperial Guardsmen bumping into a room packed with Poxwalkers. Poxwalkers. So that definitely sounds like some kind of infected, like pox.
But Andy
Walker.
What? Right after poor flashlight guy saw the zombies, we had the most hyped up game for this entire showcase. Can I tell you right now what that game was that was just so hype and was clearly the star of the show?
Please. Please tell me. God, please. God, I can't wait anymore. Please, God, tell me.
All right, I'm going to tell you right now, that game that everybody was obviously waiting for how long its damn trailer was, Tetris Effect.
Well, Tetris Effect? Isn't that already out?
Well, now it's going to come to Xbox with Tetris Effect connected, so you can play with other people. Oh, you can play Tetris in co-op mode, online, and local. Do you not understand how hype this Christmas is going to be when that Tetris drops? Who cares about Halo? Who cares about Forza?
Oh my God. State of Decay. I'm so excited.
We have Tetris Connect. Tetris Effect Connected. There we go. Gonna say the whole thing. Gonna say it right.
Well, Allie, you said everything that I think there needs to be said about Tetris in the most exuberant way. So there's gigantic Tetris blocks. They had a trailer with a million people dancing while they were playing Tetris. It was pretty much everything you could want. I mean, Tetris is cool, man. People enjoy Tetris, you know, but okay. Moving along. I mean, Tetris is great. It's there. Moving along. We got the gunk.
Andy, nobody cares about the rest of the games. Okay. Tetris.
Well, you know, we're running a little late on time. We still got a couple more games to talk about, Allie, so we could put a pin in Tetris.
Nobody cares about these new IPs, Andy. They don't sell. All
right.
EX said so.
The gunk. It's just a vac. It's just a dang cleaning game. You go on a world. You suck up gunk. You solve literal puzzles. Gunk. Yeah, it's just like, yeah. You're this woman who looks incredibly short. I was like, the anatomy of this doesn't really match up.
I thought she was a dwarf.
Like a you know, fantasy type thing. I mean, it's definitely a fantasy world. But yeah.
Do you think she's really short, or do you think the world is just really big?
No, it's like her body. It looks like her like torso's too short, and I don't know. It's definitely just an artistic choice. But yeah, you go on this planet. It's kind of like, it kind of looks abandoned, but there's this black sludge everywhere. You got this little claw hand, turns into a vacuum. Use it to solve puzzles. Looks pretty cool. Might be a little fun puzzle platformer. Who knows? You know? The trailer ended.
Lie.
What?
Oh, go on.
No, I'm sorry.
I didn't care about the gunk anymore. I thought we were moving on.
Yeah. I was just going to say the trailer ended with like a little tease of enemies that come after you who look like they're also made of gunk. So bunch of gunk going on. But yeah, we can move on to this one. This one looks pretty cool. This next one. Why don't you take this one, Allie?
I was actually excited about this one because at first I didn't recognize it and it took a few minutes, but The Medium is coming out this holiday along with Tetris, so it's not going to sell any copies because everyone's getting Tetris. But in this game, you play as a psychic medium who is able to go across two worlds, it looks like. Apparently she can enter two different states of reality, and I don't know who the enemy is, but it was spooky.
A lot of weird, like, fleshy things going on and, like, demonic, like, themes. I don't know. It was weird.
Oh my God. I just found the name of the developers.
Of what?
Of The Medium.
The Medium? Okay.
Yeah.
It's right there. Bloober Team. Well, yeah, that was when we were watching the trailer. I was like, Bloober Team, because it's just a hilarious name.
They're horror experts. Don't mess with the bloobers.
Yeah. This was one of the games where Microsoft took a moment to tout that power of the Series X. They were like, we're manifesting two. That's a horrible word, but I'm just going to go with it. Manifesting two worlds at the same time.
Do you mean rendering?
Rendering. That was the word. Rendering. Manifesting is the mystical version of rendering. Can you imagine like an elf video editor and he's just like, don't worry, I just have to manifest before I export. But
you know, quick foot. What's an elf name?
Quick,
I know
foot.
What quick foot is. Quick bow, quick quiver, quick arrow, whatever it is, whoever you
the
are.
The green arrow?
You guy over there with the pointy ears and the long lifespan and the ability to not need sleep. We render in this current universe.
Okay, I feel... I took you on this journey and you lost me. So I don't know. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I really hate that I've been summarizing all these games as it looks pretty cool. But like... You know, we didn't get a ton of info from these, and the stuff that we did give, I definitely tried to pass along on here. And then, you know, my professional opinion is, dang, this looks pretty cool. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, looking forward to The Medium.
So I won't lie, the next two games that were announced were Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis, as well as Crossfire X. And both of those... they exist, or they will soon.
Yeah. Phantasy Star seems to have like a big following. The game doesn't look like anything special to me, especially the facial animations and the graphics and stuff. It just looked super subpar. I mean, there's like a niche community who loves Phantasy Star and they'll be excited for it. But now it says New Genesis Expansion. I think expansion is the full title. New Genesis Expansion. Yeah, it could be a little confusing because expansion packs and things like that. But yeah, I believe it has one of those weird super long titles. So, yeah, like you said, that's a thing. Crossfire X, I have an opinion of this game. I think it's really hard in today's like gaming climate to come out and be like a new big shooter. It seems like everything is taken over by the AAA shooters. I'm really not sure what to expect from Crossfire X. Just like watching this trailer, everything just looked super generic to me. And it just looked like a run-of-the-mill shooter. I'm not sure about anything in this game that makes it stand out. I'm really, really not that excited for it. If I run out of other games to play, which will never happen, and I just want something to mindlessly shoot, like I want a game to just sit down and mindlessly shoot at stuff, I might play it. But I am really not excited for this game.
I had completely like no interest in it. I can't even remember for the most part what the trailer looked like.
Yeah, a generic shooter. Yeah.
I had to rewatch the Xbox showcase that I could remember what the games were, and this one was there, and I was like, oh, right!
Yeah.
You were there, too!
But they definitely ended on a high note that got your attention back with the final reveal of the showcase, which was a new Fable. So Fable is in development by Playground Games, and earlier in the podcast, I said another Forza developer is doing something that I'm excited about. So Turn 10 does Forza Motorsports, and Playground Games does Forza Horizon. So Forza Horizon is like this absolutely stunning game. So if you guys want an idea of how great Fable is going to look, go play Forza Horizon 4 on Game Pass. The lighting in it is unbelievable. The world design and everything. It's a racing game, but it's just so, so nice looking.
With that in mind, because you did mention that they do Forza Horizon, have they done any RPGs?
Playground Games' resume includes Forza Horizon 4, Forza Horizon 3, Forza Horizon 4 LEGO Speed Champions, Forza Horizon 4 frickin' Fortune Island. No, they've just done Forza. That's all they've done is Forza.
So now they're also adding in Fable.
Yeah, I mean, F Forza Fable.
So that concerns me only a little because it seems like they've only ever really done racing games before. But I mean, hey, I'll give it a chance. I'm excited to see how Fable will look. I'm glad to see it return.
Tell you what, if there's a racing segment in Fable, it's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be chef's kiss.
That would be the absolute best point of. Oh God, what if it's literally Fable racing?
No, it's not gonna be.
Oh God, I hope not. I really hope not.
We could just say that the trailer was totally Fable. It was like a kooky little announcer or like narrator. It had a fairy flying and then boom, fairy gets eaten by this dumb looking toad.
She deserved it.
Very quick little teaser. The game is still, I'm sure it's years out. We might see it in 2022, you know, hopefully. But I'm very, very excited. And with that, is the ending of the Xbox Game Showcase. Any last thoughts on Fable, though, Allie?
I love Fable. All
right. Spoken from...
I don't know what else to say. I really enjoy Fable, so I'm excited to see it in the next-gen consoles.
Yeah, definitely, especially console. Since it completely skipped this generation.
Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, so it's... That's one good thing. It's completely out of his hands, so that's
great. Thank God. No more lies, please.
Frickin' liar. Anyways, yeah, so rounds out the Xbox Game Showcase, and I would say that I would describe this whole showcase as a mediocre hype sandwich. So
Subway.
So they basically started and ended strong. That's your bread, Allie. And then in between, they put some good stuff, you know, some grilled chicken, whatever. And then they, you know, some bad stuff, some, I don't know, spoiled.
Carbs are good.
Whatever. Yeah, in the middle, it was all just kind of whatever stuff, you know. There was nothing that seriously stood out to me. I really love the Halo gameplay demo, and I really am so excited about Fable. And everything else in the middle was just kind of fluff, in my opinion.
I liked the medium and grounded, but yeah, even for Psychonauts, it just seemed weird. I did like State of Decay 3 with how they had the deer, zombie deer eating the wolf at the end. I thought that was a neat little twist.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I was expecting a werewolf game, so I was still disappointed.
Yeah.
It was just all right. I mean, I'm glad that we didn't have the usual celebrities that always stop in just showing us how wealthy they are compared to us.
Yeah.
Us plebs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, as far as like for E3, I always thought Xbox did really, really well. They always like had really hyped moments that I just thought were great. And for this, it was kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
Right.
And still, just like Sony, I know in our last episode, I predicted that we would get a release date and a price for the Xbox Series X, and we didn't get either of those things.
Yeah, what's so going really, on? Why is nobody idea. Giving us a price?
I have no idea. They're going to be $500. Like, that's it has to be. But I'm kind of shocked that it's this late in summer already, and we still don't know what these consoles that are coming out in November are going to cost.
No, yeah, I'm assuming
November, October, you know.
I need to know how much money I need to know how much quarantine money I need to put aside so I can get one of these consoles.
Need to get another one of those stimulus checks. But
I'm telling you.
But yeah. So that was our rundown of the Xbox game showcase. Basically our initial thoughts on everything. Before we wrap up, are you playing anything else this week?
I've been playing more Ghosts of Tsushima, and I am loving it. The combat is by far some of the most fun that I've had in a long time when it comes to a game.
Yeah. I have also been playing Ghosts of Tsushima, not Tsushimi, like I had issues with last week. That game was like a sleeper hit for me. I was not excited for it, but we decided to get it, and I am glued to it. It's so much fun. And you know what?
Andy?
I said last week that it's not like an Assassin's Creed. Man, it's kind of like an Assassin's Creed. Like, you
Andy,
know.
All I will say is you're welcome.
Yeah, you were the one who pushed that on us, and I'm very happy you did. yeah, no, the combat, it's totally, after you get deep into the combat, it's definitely reminiscent of the older style Assassin's Creed, which I missed. I love that combat, and I'm very happy with it. Yeah, it's fantastic. We're still hoping to do a spoiler cast as soon as both of us beat the game. But yeah, other than that, I got... I'm sorry, are you playing anything else?
I tried my hand at... What was it called? It's a new game that came out on the Xbox Game Pass that everybody had been talking about from...
Devolver? Carrion?
Devolver. Carrion, yep.
Yeah.
Carrion.
I saw that and I haven't checked it out yet. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty interesting. It's very much a game where you are the thing that goes bump in the night, or in this case, slithers around the lab that you definitely are a secret in, and you just destroy people.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a really interesting take on a game. But yeah, other than Tsushima, I got Story of Seasons on Switch, which is just a farming simulator. It's kind of like, you know, it's exactly Harvest Moon. It's exactly Stardew Valley. I don't think it's worth the $50 that it costs. Very run-of-the-mill, not as polished as you would expect it to be, and... Like I said, there's nothing really new from other farming simulators, so I really don't know how long it's going to hold me. But I'm enjoying it so far. You know, it's whatever. Something to pass
the
time.
Think, Do you think it would have been better at a $25 price range?
I would say 30. Like, the game is definitely worth 30. It's definitely not a $50 game. But yeah.
Yeah, Nintendo.
It's not Nintendo.
Well, it's on Switch.
I think it's not Natsume. It's some other company, because Natsume makes Harvest Moon.
It's at the end of the day, whoever you are that developed it, you put your game at too high of a price.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Story of Seasons developer. Yeah. Guys, before we go, make sure to give us a follow on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. We are Till Death Do We Play. On Twitter, we are TDDWP Podcast. If you could go and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be amazing. And why don't you go on to our socials and let us know what you enjoyed from this conference. Did you guys have any announcements that really stuck out, stuff that really disappointed you? Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ellie. I kind of went on a roll there. I didn't take a breath. I should have let you jump in.
Don't worry. I'm here too.
Why don't you tell the listener to do something?
I don't know. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your pets. Tell the people that you care about. Tell the people you don't care about.
Well,
just tell them to listen to our podcast. Maybe make their day a little brighter. Your coworkers even. They're probably bored.
There you go. You told them a lot of stuff.
Yeah, look at me being helpful.
I think we're pretty equal on telling them things.
Eh.
All right. Any parting words, Allie?
For any other developers who are looking to release a game for this holiday, Suck It Tetris is going to be the ultimate big hit. You might as well just give up now. Hopes and dreams crushed. Game of the year, GG, Tetris.
Okay. All right.
All right, that's it. Get out.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.